Now we're going to go to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at the parable concerning the rich fool. This, as all the other parables, has a specific context, and I'd like to read it with you. In verse 1 it says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in a closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after that hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." This whole first section, is dealing with fearing God. Living your life in the light of the fear of the Lord. Living your life, every day of your life, in the light of fearing the Lord. Verse 6. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows." He puts it in perspective. You live in light of the fear of the Lord and the final judgment that'll come. But at the same time, God watches after every sparrow. Aren't you much more valuable than every one of those? You're more valuable than many sparrows to God. Verse 8, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogue, and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what things you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Now here Jesus Christ is just, he's been teaching. Final judgment, fear the Lord, fear God, and watch what you say. You speak against the Spirit, you speak against the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, it's not going to be forgiven. And then whenever they come and take you away into the synagogue, and they don't worry about what you're going to say, the Spirit will give you. Holy Spirit will give you the answer, what Jesus. And some guy in the middle of this teaching, in a great multitude, a tremendous multitude, he has the gumption to say, Jesus, I got a problem between me and my brother, and he won't give me my half of the inheritance. Now, and he said unto him, Man, now you don't hear Jesus use this word too often. The word man, I forget who it was that said this, read it in some commentary. It was McLaren. The word man is a frigid term. In other words, the Lord is not blessed that this guy interrupted him. And he says, man? And this must put the guy back on his heels when he says this. And he said to a man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, now he's talking to the multitude again, take heed and beware of covetousness. Obviously, this guy is not thinking about what the Lord's thinking about. He's not in tune with thinking about the fear of the Lord, the final judgment, the fact that God is the one who is going to be the judge, and he is the one that provides what you need even in a bad situation. And he says, I'm no judge. I'm not going to arbitrate between you and your brother. But then he hits the man right between the eyes with his need of covetousness, because that's what this guy's about. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's going to retire. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither your body, what you shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Remember, he had just spoken to them about many sparrows just before he was interrupted. And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye, then being not able to do the things which is least, why take you thought for the rest? If you can't do the simple things, you can't change, you know, your height, you can't do anything about those things, what makes you think you can do it about the greater things? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he continues on in his teaching. Live. He starts out teaching them, you know, there is a final judgment coming. Take heed how you're living. Take heed how you're living. But he also tells them right after this that every word is going to be given an account of. Everything you've ever spoken in a closet is going to be made known. That's quite a thought for people. Just picture, everything that you've ever done is going to be on the big screen. Mercy, mercy. But then he comes right back and says, how much, even the very hairs, verse 7, go back and look at that, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. You know, God You better believe it. There's an accounting that's going to be done. We've seen that in the other parables. There's going to be an accounting of how his people have lived in light of the kingdom to come. Then this fool interrupts Jesus Christ. And the parable is about covetousness. Beware of covetousness. This man was blessed. He had plenty. Oh, let me see how I'm going to do this. He's got all his preparation, everything else. I'll pull down my barns, I'll fill them up, and then I can relax for the rest of my life. God says you're a fool, because this night your life's going to be required of you. And who's going to spend all that stuff? Who's going to spend it all? There's a perspective here. Because he says to him in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, there's plenty of rich people in the scriptures who were rich towards God. And that's why they were rich. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Solomon, David. Many, many, many wonderful, blessed believers. But I want to tell you something. They were rich towards God. It says in Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. And we're to be aware of it. It's not the stuff that makes your life better. And that's really, you know, the Lord starts out with that particular thought, and he says, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the thing which he possesses. That's not what this life is all about. And he concludes this parable with, you lay up for yourself treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. There's no crime in being rich. There's no crime in being poor. I prefer the former. But the real sin, you know, you can be as poor as dirt and love money as much as anybody else. How are you going to live your life in light of the fear of the Lord? That's what this parable is about. And warning them about covetousness. I think it's a great parable, right? Let's look at another one. Luke chapter 13. This is the parable of the barren fig tree. In chapter 13, in verse 6. Well, just like everything else, let's read from verse 1. Let's look at the context here from verse 1. They were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Nor those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, it's a commonly asked question in people's minds. I mean, they don't always ask me out loud, but it's certainly commonly asked. You know, some great tragedy happens, a tremendous persecution. Well, I guess God didn't like them. They must have been greater sinners than somebody else. And the Lord's pretty much answering what people think in their mind. Do you think this? Well, no. But you're going to perish if you don't repent. Verse 6, and he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, and he planted in his vineyard. And he came, and he sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come to seek fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. This particular parable, he says to them, now remember the context. Context is, do you think that, you know, these tragedies happen to people? You think they're greater sinners? No, they're not. But I'm telling you, repent, change, change. He says to them twice. In fact, the point is, change now. And then he gives them this parable of this barren fig tree. He says, you know, there is a limit. There is a limit to the amount of unfruitfulness that will be allowed. If you don't become fruitful, you're going to get cut down. The unfruitful get cut down. And there is the master of the vineyard. There's an end to his patience. Do you see the point? Therefore, change. He's allowing more time. He's ready to be, he's finished with it now. But the guy who works for him, the vine dresser, he says, well, I'll dig around it, I'll put some fertilizer on it. If it doesn't come up for fruit next year, then we'll cut it down. Then we'll be finished with it. Point of this is repent. Repent. And the parable, repent now. Because fruitlessness is not going to be endured forever. You got the time to change. You got the time to turn to the Lord and to do the things of God. But, you know, patience comes to an end. It's not going to be endured forever. Chapter 14 is the next parable I'd like to deal with. And that is the parable of taking the lowest place. Parables in starts in verse 7, but we're going to start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him, which hath the dropsy. And Jesus answering, spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and he healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden, talking about bidden to the dinner. And he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee, and come, and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou being with shame, take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I often thought to myself, this is kind of strange, but he says this to the Pharisees. He says it, they're there. They don't even give him the answer when he says, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And he heals this man. And then he gives them what I consider to be a very practical lesson on, you know, this will bless you if you do it this way. Because here they are, they're all into their status. they're all into exalting themselves. And he gives them a very practical story, very practical means. Guy comes into the room, you take the highest position, a more honorable man comes in, the host says to you, you know what, you really shouldn't sit here, I got to give this seat to another guy. And then you're ashamed. Then he said, verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him, to the man who invited him to dinner, what now makest the dinner or a supper? Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest the feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, those that are, the outcasts, those who are unacceptable. Call those, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So he gives them this very practical lesson first, and they can certainly see that one. And he says to them, the point of the first parable towards them was, hey, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. And those that humble themselves, they're going to be exalted. Then he says to the man who bade him to come to that dinner that he's sitting at, go out and get, you know, don't get people who you're going to have to pay back. They're going to recompense you again. Because it's always this, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours type of world. No. Do this. You get people who can't pay you back at all. Because then you'll be blessed in the resurrection. Again, the subject is how you live this life. Now, this doesn't mean you can't invite a friend to dinner and do that. It's not to be taken literally. But it is talking about what's your attitude. Is this all about you scratch my back, I scratch yours? Or is this about really doing things that are a blessing, giving, for giving's sake, and to give to those especially who can't possibly pay you back? Then the Lord says, thou shalt be blessed in verse 14, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not sure if this guy is talking about the fact that you're going to be rewarded in the kingdom, or he's taking it that the Pharisee is going to be in the kingdom. I'm not sure which. Then said he unto him, and said the Lord unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground that I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servants came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halted, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, we have done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servants, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes unto him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord gives them, he speaks to the man who bid him to dinner. And he says, you know, he gives them these two parables. One is to teach, if you exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. And then he that humbles himself, he's going to be exalted. And he said, don't be inviting, you know, the people who are going to pay you back for your inviting them, bidding them to dinner. Don't let life go that way. That's the way, I mean, think about this now. Think about this in practical terms. This is the way everyone does business. This is the way this world runs. You invite those who are beneficial to you, whether it be business or socially or anything else. You hang out with those people who can benefit you or at least keep your status. The Lord says, no, 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 no. Go get those people, the ones you really want to be dealing with in this life. And like I said, I don't think it's absolutely you're supposed to have every blind person in the neighborhood come to dinner every night. This, the picture of this is you are to be blessing and helping and honoring those who can't. And you're going to have blessings in the resurrection. Then the other man pipes up and he says, hey, blessed, he's going to eat bread in the resurrection. I mean, they understand that there's going to be a resurrection. But then the Lord gives this parable. And it's similar to the parable of the wedding feast. It is similar to that. It's another point. This is spoken at a different time, different place. It's not the same parable. But the point is, those who have been invited don't always eat the supper. There are many who've been invited and bidden to the Lord's dinner. But they got excuse after excuse after excuse. But the Lord's going to have his house filled. And it's going to have his house filled. But it, not everybody who's been bidden to come in is going to eat at that supper. Their choice. Their choice.